When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Florida A&M, with their new coach, Quinn Gray, taking on Albany State, which is a program where Quinn Gray came from. He's coming home, so to speak. He was a star quarterback at FAMU. FAMU's been hit, I don't know if everybody knows this, with some postseason bans because of some APR stuff. So they won't be eligible to compete in the postseason, but they can play in the regular season. And there are a couple of other good games. So we'll have all those games. We'll have picks. We'll break all that down. Of course, we're going to break down our game of the week, which, spoiler alert, it'll be the John Merritt Classic. It'll be a whole lot of fun on Thursday.
So, yeah, you're going to a Tigers versus Tigers game, but the Tigers are playing that night. So before we get out of here, any thoughts on the Tigers?
Three levels of Tigers.
Yeah, so many Tigers.
So many Tigers. Arkansas Pine Bluff, no, they're the Lions. Never mind.
A lot of Jungle Cats.
It's going to be so many Jungle Cats. It's going to be good, man. Give the University of Memphis, you get to go out there and sort of take pole positioning, so to speak, in the group of race. You go out there, you beat a UNLV team that people have predicted to be amongst the best teams in their conference, potential conference champions. You go out there and beat them, and now you sit in the lead through week zero for the coveted playoff spot from the group of six teams. And you do that, excuse me. And then 2 weeks later, you go and you beat Boise State when they come to town. Now everybody's looking up at you. And all you got to do is win. I say all you got to do like it's easy. But all you got to do is go out there and win the American, and boom. There's no argument. There's no debate. There's no conversation about it. If you beat the two best teams and two other best teams in the group of six while also winning your conference, that's your playoff spot, man. So it could be the start of a pretty special season for Coach Hupp and the Memphis Tigers. I look forward to seeing it all play out.
Yeah, no, and it kicks off at 9 o'clock, so you can go to the Classic game, and then you'll be able to watch the game on Fox later on. So.
Listen, man, I don't know what the traffic situation is going to be like leaving. Nashville's always got terrible traffic, and leaving that game, I'm assuming, is going to be awful traffic. I hope to be able to find my way to a sports bar of some type right after the press conference where I ask about the Southern Heritage Classic so that I can sit down and enjoy Memphis taking on UNLV.
CJ, we appreciate you, buddy.
I appreciate y'all.
CJ Hurt of Grind City Media, again, the HBCU huddle, will drop on Thursday. Selling your home can be one of the most stressful endeavors that you go through, unless you call my buddy Josh Heisel. Why is it stress-free with Josh? Because whether or not you end up taking a cash offer, whether or not you sell the traditional way, you know that you're getting a guarantee with Josh. If he can't sell your home, he'll buy it himself. You can also take advantage of the same convenience that you would get with one of those instant cash offers, except when you do it with Josh, you'll get the full market value of your home. He'll also even give you a little bit extra time. You won't be rushed. You'll have up to 4 months to hand over the keys. Josh guarantees that he can sell your home for 100% of the market value. If he sells it for less, he'll pay you the difference. In the rare event that he can't sell it again, Josh will buy your home himself for what it is worth. Josh also offers flexible fees, no upfront costs, and he'll let you out of the contract anytime risk-free. So if you're thinking about selling your home, call the only real estate agent that I would trust. That's Josh Heisel and his team at Keller Williams Realty. The phone number is 901-461-8147. The website is joshhasthebuyers.com. You can also Google Josh Heisel HISAW, and see over 350 five-star reviews over on Google. Let us take a break. When we come back, we will get into the list. Also, we'll kick off hour number three here in just about an hour with Writer Than Right Trivia. We'll be playing for another outstanding Denstals gift card. Of course, one of the great prizes and one of the great local institutions. We'll get into the list next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Make your savings count with Leaders Credit Union. Goals are important in both sports and in life, and you need a champion who's looking out for your best interest. Leaders Credit Union wants you to win with their forward plus high yield savings accounts, which earn 3.5% APY. The account has no balance tiers and no hoops, so you can just let your money earn without any added worries. You can make your savings count with Leaders CU. Visit the website leaderscu.com/ESPN for full details today. Leaders Credit Union, of course, is a not-for-profit financial institution fully owned by their members. They have over 84,000 members strong, calling West Tennessee home. They also have Bartlett and Arlington locations, as well as 5,000 shared branches and 85,000 fee-free ATMs that you can take Leaders wherever you go. They also have an outstanding mobile app that makes it simple to review accounts, balances, make payments, and achieve your financial goals. It's all available on their mobile app 24/7. Again, the website, leaderscu.com/ESPN. To learn more, you can even have your membership fee waived. We're going to get into Writer Than Right trivia at the start of the next hour. Again, we got a Denstals gift card to give away. But before we do any of that, let's get into the list. Daquan Wright. All right, boys. So we have one more hurdle before Daquan can transfer from the Cleveland Browns to LSU. So according to Drew Rosenhaus and his team, that is Daquan's agent, the Browns have waived Daquan. If he clears waivers, he will be going to LSU.
All right.
Now, here's where things start to get complicated. The SEC has a rule in place that says outside of the transfer portal window, you are not allowed to transfer to another institution. I have a serious question. Is LSU going to argue he didn't transfer from Ole Miss to LSU? He's transferring from Cleveland to LSU.
But then that's, you can't do that though, right?
I mean, technically, and I think this was some of the arguments going around with like the law folks, technically speaking, he was no longer a member of a member institution.
So therefore
he can go.
He'd be outside of the rules.
Right. Which is absolutely insane.
So,
and that's not even coming, like that's to me beyond the, oh, he should go back here, he should go wherever. Like obviously he was awesome, you know, at Ole Miss last year. We're talking about an NFL player.
So Lane, I guess, had his media availability today, and here was what he was said when he was asked about it. Because of these rulings, They are going to play for you or for someone else. We made the decision to recruit them. It's wrong to be critical of these kids. They were granted a fifth year, and a judge said they were wronged. So the question I have is, will the SEC as a league let it go? Or will they try to fight? Because the league office, maybe to the degree of lobbying or whatnot, like they did come out pretty strongly against Charles Bediako. And I don't know to what degree the impact Greg Sankey had on the ultimate decision, but the ultimate decision fell in line with the case that he made. This would be a very similar case. Like, I do think it is interesting where...
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was kind of like thinking about it. Like, if we, you know, we the most common refrain is the sport's broken, the sport's broken, the sport's broken. I almost wonder now if it's gotten to the point of there's so much absurdity, like you just kind of, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? You just kind of move on. Like, it's just like it's another thing. But it was laugh out loud funny to have last week.
The on three Cleveland graphic.
Cleveland Browns tight end Daquan Wright enters NCAA transfer portal.
I loved the on three graphic where you're like, oh, this should just be for college teams. Why is there a Browns logo on there?
Right. Right. So what, I mean, but what do you, but I mean, what do you think, Jeffrey? Like, what do you, I mean, I know it's like there's, everything is just, you're not shocked by it, but like, is there a solution here? Is this okay if that it happens? Is it a slippery slope? I mean, there's got to be,
I think the larger point I have is that I'm very sick of eligibility, however you want to phrase it, being determined in courts. With that being said, it's like people are going to keep doing it until whatever rules and whatever, you know, governing body, if they do not have enforceable rules, this is just going to be a part of it. I think as a collective society, we're all kind of on board. It feels to me like a legitimately widely held view is once you become a professional, you are... you've expired your college eligibility. Like, I don't think that's an unpopular position. I think that is a wildly
very popular. Yeah.
And so now you just wind up in this situation though, where what can be done right now? They have legal grounds to say you cannot prevent him from playing football.
Well, but the thing, if they're going to keep going to this is where we need Congress. We need Congress. Does that make you feel like we need Congress when something like this happens? Because it's going to keep going to the courts until there's
Congress is I think what needs to be happened mostly need to figure out a way to have rules that they can enforce. I don't believe the best way for them to go about that is going to Congress, but I think that seems to be their default position.
Sure, but I guess...
What we have not seen yet, really, like even with Alabama and with Bediako, when it finally reached the point where Bediako no longer had legal support, Alabama did not try to sue the SEC. If the SEC tries to take a stand on this, will we see LSU go after the SEC? Because what we have seen is players, schools, they're willing to sue the NCAA, but no one's really gone after the conference yet.
Right.
And if you're the SEC, do you want to take the stance?
Do they? You tell me, do they? I don't think so. I mean, you're asking the
question. I think they would like to. I think that this is one of those weird leverage questions of who has got the stronger position. I think if the SEC felt like they had a stronger position, I think they would be more aggressive. I think the problem that they have is they don't feel like they have leverage.
Well, So when I see these stories, like this is a real problem for college sports to have a pro, the idea a pro could come and play. But I mean, anybody at any age can go to college, right? I'm having this conversation with my daughter recently. She's like, what age? I was like, anybody can go to college. You know, your grandmother can decide she go to college tomorrow. She can go to college. But can you go to college and play sports even after you've played that sport professionally? And this is not, most people think you probably shouldn't, right? Like most people think that doesn't make sense. But if you're getting paid in college,
it does.
If you have not gone, are eligible technically.
I think the one spot where it seems to me that I feel like fans are a little, I don't know if conflicted, but they don't, it's almost like I need more information. I think everyone's a little bit more, I guess conflicted would be the right word, when you have overseas professional. But it feels to me like everyone's pretty much of the opinion, if you signed an NFL contract, you can't play college football.
Right, but I mean, you could see the, yeah, I mean, you can't go back. I don't know. I mean, I could see the arguments in all types of different ways, but most people do believe what we're talking about. They believe you probably shouldn't. That definitely changes.
In college basketball, if you signed an NBA contract, you've exhausted your eligibility. In college football, if you signed an NFL contract, you've exhausted your eligibility.
Okay.
I think I would maybe even say, I think most people would say, when you enter the draft and you go through the process and you don't withdraw your name, not to the point of you went through the draft process, you got the information, and then you chose to come back and use additional eligibility that you have, we're fine with that. But it's almost like once you've made the decision to turn pro, and obviously turning pro has become a more convoluted decision because, let's be real, they're pros right now. Right. But I think it's once you've made the decision that you're going to the NFL route, I think most people don't believe just because you're going to get cut from the NFL that you should be able to play another year of college football.
Well, I mean, and how often will this happen, though, I guess, is what really...
I think that is actually probably the better question. As it pertains to this specific ruling, I think you would make the argument this is probably a one-off. The larger issue, though, is what we continually see happening is that whenever you have the opportunity to make a legal argument, someone is going to try to do that. So this specific set of rules all relates to 5-to-play-5, and that this was the one class that was not going to have the advantage. So this particular argument is probably a one-off. But essentially what people keep challenging is eligibility is becoming a question of non-competes. And the NCAA has had a very difficult time winning non-compete arguments because they won't make them employees. So it kind of becomes like a right-to-work question rather than an eligibility question.
Right, and that's why it is tied into the courts in that way. Right?
Exactly.
And maybe there could be. I don't know. I mean, the Senate bill that didn't pass, it might pass when they come back before the midterms. Who knows? But the 5-for-5 was in, like there was the very restricted on your eligibility rules.
Five for five basically fell in line. The issue though was the language offering protection for state courts was weak. It's not necessarily that it was non-existent, but I don't think it was to the degree that the conferences would like, aka enforceable.
So So we've got another league that's playing right now that is having a massive debate on a national scale about a problem that doesn't even exist.
Correct.
Right?
A problem that they've not actually.
And we're talking about the WNBA having men want to play in the WNBA. Like it's not a real problem, but NCAA sports does have a real problem of pros attempting to play.
Players that are not eligible by their rules are playing.
Technically, people who have dabbled in professionalism in some type of a way, returning.
They've turned professional.
Yeah. to return. That is actual problem. I'm trying to figure out, is it as big of a problem? Is it a real problem, or is it closer to what the WNBA is having, which is a non-existent problem? It just happened to have a few of them because of the current landscape of the rules, or will it actually develop into a finish?
I think if we're using the if what's happening in college is situation A, mm-hmm. and what's happening in the WNBA is situation B, it is clearly an actual problem in situation right. A because it exists.
Because there is a problem. We've seen it happen.
Correct.
It has been attempted.
Correct.
And it's currently being attempted.
Correct.
Right now. Right. In WNBA, there's
correct.
No attempt.
It's a theoretical.
A legitimate attempt to.
It's a theoretical, and let's be real, it's more performative
right.
than it is. I'm not saying it's a situation that won't occur, but it is a situation that has not occurred.
Right.
On situation A in college sports, it is happening. Now, I think where it starts to get a little muddy is the idea of how big of an issue is it? Because the numbers are not extreme, mm-hmm. but I think what is...
Does it hurt the other student-athletes? Does it make being a fan not as fun? Does it hurt the interest in the sport, the legitimacy of the sport? To me, it feels like no on most of those, but...
I think you're right. But I also wonder if this is what's happened. It has become, I don't think any of us started following sports to follow court rulings. You know what I mean? And so.
Right. Well, that's for sure. Yes. It's supposed to be escaping. Those
so things. What I think has happened is there has been so much chaos, for a lack of a better term, that I think now everyone is getting to this point, which is, I'm going to watch on game day, but I'm going to try to not think about too much. Like, the more I think about it, the more it ends up just taking away from the experience. I'm going to watch the games, and that's going to be that.
That's fair.
Now, is that a solution? Not really. I think that's more of like a symptom or a reaction to symptoms.
Right.
But what I do think is the actual problem, like if we want to say like, okay, is there a problem here? I think it simply boils down to you have an organization that cannot enforce rules. So does that hurt the bottom line? Probably not, but have you created a damaged foundation to where maybe this isn't going to hurt you in 12 months. Maybe it's not going to hurt you in 24 months, but are you creating an environment that could actually like bring everything down? Because in the end, if you're trying to run a competition that you can't govern, how long can that actually last?
No, I agree with that. But will it this force? Because it's not unheard of, again, to get the, and we go back to the Senate thing, which is totally on pause right now. Congress is out on recess.
I believe they're trying to make changes during recess.
But, like, sometimes you do have to, because it's the NCAA is such a blurred line of, which you keep using the word organization versus, you know, company and business, and such a blurred line, and it's the organization is not the same thing that it was before. And amateur athletes, not the same thing as it was before, student athletes, all of that. So, like, it has evolved. It might be, I seriously, as much as I don't believe that Congress, especially this particular group of individuals, can actually fix real problems, but sometimes they do have to get involved and fix stuff that the people cannot fix at the betterment of society, and like they did with the game show scandals. I do feel like at some point, like... I do think Congress needs to do something.
Okay, so I think the only response I would have to you is I don't think it's necessarily true that they can't fix it. I think they've been...
I don't know if they can fix it. I think they can possibly put down some rules, Jeffrey, where you don't have to keep seeing, like, they've taken it to a judge. Like, can they put in some rules? Can we get some rules that are made a matter of fact about laws of understanding what is the NCAA?
Yep.
So we can like make it where it's not a blurred line interpretation of union versus whatever. Can we say this is the exemption to other labor laws, or if it's not exemption to other labor laws or whatever? and that somebody's got to come down and say that, so you don't have a different judge be involved every week that's a fan of a team trying to sway a decision. And it's kind of like, it's in black and white. We know what the rules are, and right now we don't really, because it can be, because we don't know what the NCAA is considered and what these student, what were once student athletes that are now practically employees. Like, it is a very gray area that official, like, United States rules, laws, should probably be put on the books for that. Right? Shouldn't we, like, we know what it is. If you have an employee, there's laws for having employees. There were laws right. in existence in the other way. Like, there's not anything that you have to follow in the situation that the NCAA is. They're trying to still have both in a way.
Well, you have this weird situation where, okay, if you have to define what is the NCAA, all the NCAA is a collection of universities that have agreed to band together in the right. in the competition realm.
Yes.
Now, here's where it starts to get weird.
But the rules were different when they initially agreed to work together. Yeah.
Correct. But you'll always have a situation where rules change.
Sure, yeah.
In a governing body. Okay.
Not. I mean, this is major, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we've had major changes. Like, we went from cost of attendance. Like, no such thing as you cannot get anything other than a scholarship. Well, first off, we went from basically club sports to then all of a sudden you could entice people with scholarships. So that was a massive sweeping rules change. But then, you know, think about it. We've gone to full cost of attendance, then to NIL, whatnot. I think the biggest issue is that it went from a sport or a thing that made good money to now it's making unbelievable amounts of money, and it, to the degree where now you had to actually address the issue that your labor force was largely unpaid for so long, and now it is a multi-billion dollar industry. Can you get away with that? I think, though, the everything that you're talking about is solvable. It's just they don't want to go down the route of solving it. Everything that you just said could be addressed with collective bargaining, but there's still a massive resistance to do that. Now, sure. There's more of an appetite to do it than before, but, like, that's the other thing. A lot of the things that if you don't collectively bargain, like, are you going to get these exemptions in the antitrust aspect? And probably not.
Well, but still, like, it's still unique in your basic. So NBA has collective bargaining, you know, and the Major League Baseball and all of that. But in college, like, you still have to be, like, a student at the university to be on the team. Like, there's still, like, it's a different gray area.
I mean, that's...
You have to be enrolled, right? Like, you have to be enrolled.
You have to be enrolled, yes.
You have to go to class, you know, whatever, but...
Well, no, enrolled.
So I'm just saying, it's still, like, it's still, based off of how it's set up, a different category. So I do feel like there needs to be, like, an official... Is it its own category? Is NCAA and college athletics its own category? Or is it a part of the U.S. labor law category, or is it its own category, or is it some? I don't know what other category it would fall into. Volunteerism, but it's not because they're getting paid.
Well, I think,
like, it's either part of U.S. labor laws or it's not.
It's like, are you an independent contractor?
And that's a question. Could it be an independent contractor, full-time employees? They're definitely not full-time employees, but even though they work full-time I wouldn't think, because they're not, there's no 401k necessarily, you know, they're there.
Well, they're
for
not
four.
Full-time employees because they haven't been declared as such.
Correct. But also, it's just and such I would a gray
also,
area.
I would also say that most courts have also, there's not been a court decision that said this person is an employee, even though you've not labeled them an employee, therefore make them an employee. You see what I'm saying? Like, there has been agreement that they're not employees in a legal capacity, and that's been fairly consistent.
Sure. But, like, is there another way? Like, do you not see another way of this? What is the other end to this? Like, is
the
there
other end to this, in my opinion, is like almost
congressional intervention.
I think you have to make each sport their own entity and then you will, then you're going to basically negotiate with your sports players.
You're coming up with like seismic changes that they have to decide on their own that they're going to make in the NCAA.
I don't even necessarily know if you have to decide.
Sometimes
you
got to be forced into these things.
I think they kind of have been. At this point, like, if you look at it, they started by winning in the courts. Then they started losing in court. So then their solution to losing in court was going to Congress. And as Kevin points out, it's not dead yet, but it is unlikely.
This Congress hasn't done much. So
correct.
It would be a surprise if they get this passed, especially before the midterm.
Well, and also, like, you have midterm elections approaching. You also have a situation where even if it goes through one house of Congress, it's unlikely to go through the next. So, like, where would it go from there? I also just, I'm not convinced that this is like, if you're using your game show example, I'm not convinced that this is a problem that Congress has to take up to solve. I think that it is a solvable solution. I just think that they don't want to go down the path to do it because, well, for whatever reason, they've just decided they do not want to make them employees.
And, yeah, I hear you. I think we're just going to continue to have these debates and these conversations until something changes. And the only people that have the power really to make that happen are the people up there in Washington, D.C.
All right, new starters. All right, George, help me out. Here were the list of names that I wrote down. John Sumrall announced that Aaron Filo will be the starter at Florida.
Yep.
Tennessee, I believe yesterday, announced that Faison Brandon will be the starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama named Keelan Russell the starting quarterback.
Yep.
Ball State announced that my guy, Keldrick? He played at, he originally signed with SMU, then he played at Texas State. Keldrick Luster. 5'10", 250, gentlemen.
Woo!
He will be your Maction guy.
Oh, I'm fired up.
Because my favorite part about being 5'10", 250 is you know there's a decent chance he's not 5'10", but on the flip side, you know he's at least 250. So I went back and looked. When he signed with SMU listed him at 5'10", 225. So in 2.5 years, we've at least put on 25 pounds. Missouri announced that Ahmad Hardy, they will be without him at least for the start, for the season opener. Max Johnson, 7th year, he will be the starting quarterback at Georgia Southern.
Good Lord.
You're
missing at least one notable one.
Arkansas announced.
There you are.
Jackson.
Yep, KJ.
KJ Jackson. KJ beat out AJ.
Yes.
But it's not KJ Jefferson.
Jackson. Sadly.
Correct. Also, Tulane named Zion Chris Gramillion as their starting quarterback. He originally was at Houston, transferred in from Louisiana. He beat out Caden Samanza. Samanza's, I feel like, been on that team.
Forever.
I feel like he's been the third quarterback on that team for like 3 years.
I'm looking at pictures now of our boy Keldrick Luster.
Yes.
That's a pretty trim 250. That's 250.
Sturdy.
Yeah, you could say that much.
Also, Vic Burley at Clemson was suspended after a report of being asleep in his truck at 215 with odors coming out.
Oh.
That feels like that one's going to be handled internally.
Probably.
Wouldn't shock me if also Vic plays the LSU game. It might miss week 2. Was there any other significant news?
Not
in terms of starters.
Not that I've seen.
Because Huff had his presser today, but I still saw no designation for a starter. I do not think. I still believe UNLV's not named a starter.
Correct. If anything, I want to say I saw earlier that Mullen said he might play both.
I mean, I think...
Which tracks?
There's a decent chance you play both just because, I mean, Alex Orji has been a short yardage option.
Right.
Like, you can see, and Dan Mullen has a history of playing multiple quarterbacks.
True.
Okay, anything else? All right, unless anyone has anything, let's take a break. Cleveland named a starting quarterback. And
sure did.
Lots of discussion. We also have three clips that I would like to play.
Oh, yes.
In honor of that decision. Also, another wild NFL story out of the state of Ohio. We got to discuss those two.
I know that one.
Also, don't forget, top of the next hour, we will play Rider Than Right trivia. All that coming up next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers, and someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in 15 minutes, I will hand it over to Kevin. We will play Writer Than Right trivia. Your chance to win a $25 Denstall's gift card. Of course, a fantastic local business here. They make fantastic chocolate treats, sweets, all of it and more. Always a popular item to give away. We did have NFL news today. After giving...
Don't we have NFL news every day, Jeffrey?
Well, after giving... Both quarterbacks, one start. Deshaun Watson started preseason game one.
All right.
Shedeur Sanders started preseason game two.
Come on, Sanders. Come on. We have a decision.
We have a decision that was made today. Todd Monken, the Cleveland Browns head coach, has named Deshaun Watson as the starting quarterback. However, this all got going hot and heavy because of Deshaun Watson's comments post-game on Saturday, where, let's just say, the fan base was not exactly enthusiastic about watching him play quarterback. Here is what Deshaun said on Saturday after the preseason game.
Man, I didn't have no reaction. I think the biggest thing is, I think you guys know too, and I think the whole world knows, it has nothing to do about the performance. It's a little bit personal than that, so I think that's a... It's a disrespectful thing. I'm going to keep whatever I feel with me and my family internally on how I feel about that. Just move on.
But don't you think, Deshaun, that winning and playing better would eliminate some of that booing?
Last time I played on this field, I tore my Achilles. And that same fan base, they cheered when I got hurt. So does that have to do with... What does that have to do with anything about performance? When a person get hurt, especially for your own city, and they cheer.
To be clear, there are lots of reasons to boo Deshaun Watson. He is primarily being booed because he is bad at football. Even to the point that here is what Todd Monken said, because he went after Deshaun on Saturday. This was Monken's response.
I know you asked him, like, hey, how does it feel to get booed? I mean, it's a pretty easy question. It sucks. I don't want to get booed. It comes with the territory. You don't want to get booed? Let's play good football. Let's play good at quarterback. Let's play good on offense. Let's play good as a team. And then you don't have to worry about all that because it can turn just like that. Win, play good football, and everybody will be fine. That's just part of it. I mean, so I told him, you good? We're good. Part of what we do.
But that's as simple as it. Like, you're getting booed because you're not playing well. And, like, that was a more diplomatic way of saying it. And you also knew that either Deshaun's PR team, the Browns PR team, got through to him because Deshaun today was made available after getting named the starting quarterback. And this is what Deshaun had to say to start.
First off, I want to address the comments from Saturday after the game. You know, I think just... you know, human nature, just myself being very emotional, putting a lot of time these last 2 years to, you know, get back and, you know, spend time in this facility, in the city, meeting a lot of different people in the community. You know, I thought I was going to get, you know, a little different response. But, you know, I think, you know, my emotions got the best of me. And, you know, my comments wasn't intending to go at any of the fans around in the city. Because there's been a lot of great fans that have been supporting me. And I know the frustration this organization have put, you know, a lot of investment in coming, you know, to get me back in 22. And things haven't been going the right direction that we thought it was. You know, a lot of injuries, a lot of time off, and not putting the best football and my foot forward. So, again, just, you know, I understand the frustration. I understand everything that kind of goes into that. You know, and moving forward, I just want to focus on football, making sure that, you know, I'm putting the best product out there, having the best ability, you know, because I thrive off the energy. I thrive off the energy of the fans. I thrive off the energy of the community. I thrive off all that stuff. You know, I think looking back in my history at Clemson and, you know, previous at the Houston organization, you know, I was a big community guy, big city guy, big fan guy, you know, during the game. So, you know, again, my emotions got the best of me. I'm human. I take full responsibility of that. And, you know, just moving forward, I want to make sure that I put the best product for the team, for the organization, and for this city so we can put a lot of wins and make sure that I celebrate and put Cleveland on the map. You know, and that's why I put the helmet on my head and I put the uniform on my body is to go out there and make sure I put my best foot forward. And that was one of the reasons why I chose this city is to come and you know, have a lot of wins with this community, with this city, and make sure that we – you know, on the right track so we can have a lot of, you know, celebrations and a lot of excitement to go each and every Sunday. So, again, you know, moving forward, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, I can give the city something to, you know, think about, you know, in the first two games and, you know, when we come back home that we have something to cheer about and we can celebrate and, you know, go do what we want to do. And that's achieve the ultimate goal and go win and, you know, be a champion.
Okay. So, better answer? I don't think you're probably better off adding the one of the reasons I came here, because the reason you went there is because they offered you a guaranteed contract. That's the whole reason you're in Cleveland. It wasn't the best situation. You're there for the money. And a large reason why you're unhappy is because fans sit there and go, we're paying him all this money and he can't play. Now, I think I would actually say this. I think this decision kind of makes sense if you think about it in these terms. So Cleveland starts at Jacksonville and at Tampa Bay. So they will not be starting at home. And I think the gamble is you're essentially saying here is a 2-week audition to be the starting quarterback. If he plays well enough by the time you get home, I mean, stranger things than have happened in the NFL than winning at Jacksonville and winning at Tampa Bay. So
fair.
If they come home and they're 2-0 and he's played decently well, you have the opportunity to where you could maybe string this along. I think it seems at this point, Todd Monken believes the higher end is if Deshaun plays well. So you've basically come up with a 2-week audition
yep.
away from the fan base to see. So I don't necessarily think, like, Shador is still going to be a second-year quarterback. You can turn to him at just about any point.
I was about to say, and then on the flip side of that, if you go to Jacksonville and Tampa Bay, Deshaun looks awful and you lose by a billion, you can go home, first home game, hand the ball to Shador, and at the very least, the fan base will be behind the quarterback.
Correct. I don't think this is as, like, insane as, because having ended up watching both these, this game, so this game had a huge rain delay, and in the place we were doing the live draft, this was the featured game.
Okay.
I would say through two preseason games, no one's clearly won the job.
No, they've both been awful.
At best, meh. At best. Like, both guys have had turnover problems, and
based on the preseason football I'm watching, I'm starting Cade Klubnik over both of them.
Correct. But I don't necessarily think this is that insane of a decision.
No, I don't think it's some crazy decision. I do still think it's fair to wonder how much of this is a Todd Monken decision.
No, I do think I think there's,
but it's not like he has a good choice.
Correct. I do think it's entirely possible. Hey, we've got all this money sunk into him. Can we at least see?
Right.
All right. And it looks like there's not like a clear favorite amongst the team. Sure, give it a go. Now, another story out of Ohio that I was not expecting to read this morning involves, yes, the San Francisco 49er owner, Jed York. Holy cow. According to WKBN, Jed York pleaded no contest on Monday morning to two misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct and, quote, possessing criminal tools. We then learned, we then had to go to all the updated stories as everybody was chasing it. Here's where I'd like to know where all this begins. According to the Columbiana County court records, York allegedly responded to an undercover ad on a known prostitution website and, quote, arranged to have sexual activity with a female in exchange for $140, end quote. York was arrested upon arriving at the location with the cell phone used to arrange the meeting, according to records. So that is where the tools, what was it, possessing criminal tools.
Yeah, because he still had the device.
Correct. An arrest.
He got sting operation. He got set up.
First off,
this is hilarious.
Has anyone figured out why he was at a trailer park in Ohio?
Where's he from?
I'm sure we'll find out.
I mean, the Yorks.
Sure?
I think the Yorks are all Bay Area people.
No, he was actually born in Youngstown.
I mean, you never know, Jeffrey. You know, Vince McMahon lived in a trailer.
This isn't
from rags to riches.
This isn't like pointing of the finger, but they don't live there anymore. Like,
true.
Yeah, but do you ever leave?
For all the things we can say about
Vince. Or
does
Ohio never leave you?
Like, Vince didn't like sprint back to the park. Authorities initially charged York with misdemeanor counts of engaging in prostitution and possessing criminal tools. The former charge was amended to misdemeanor disorderly conduct as part of a plea agreement resolving the case. He was sentenced to 2 days in jail, one of which counted from the initial arrest. I think Goodell's going to have to do something, right? He is subject to the conduct policy.
He is. This is just, it's just a hilarious story to me. It's hard not to do anything but like as we go through the details of this, it's hard not to laugh. Because then, it's headlined by owner of the San Francisco 49ers.
Right. It's like, well, I saw some speculation early that thinks that he might have gotten tipped off because he was being cheap.
That's very possible.
Oh
so where does this put put him here on the ownership? Like, there's always like, I don't want that guy to be my owner.
I don't know. You know, he's a pretty popular owner with
he
the players.
Pretty popular, yeah.
Like Niners players love him.
You don't really hear much negative.
Like they've had. I mean, I think he has had some substance problems. My suspicion is we're about to find out. There's another rehab trip coming up.
Right.
I think you're gonna have like. If you're York, you kind of also need to be like, just accept like a 4-game, you can't go to the game suspension.
And probably some sort of fine of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, but I also think like lay low.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably not a ton of public appearances.
Ohio.
What a busy, busy day in the great state of Ohio. All right, it is that time. I'm handing it over to Kevin. 901-445-0929. We play Writer Than Right trivia. We've got a $25 gift card to Denstall's Fine Candies. We'll play that next. 901-445-0929. Caller number two, you will be our contestant on Writer Than Right trivia. Stick around. You'll listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboard's piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.